Thank you, Ricardo. Okay, so hi, I'm here to present and explain, or hopefully explain some part of what, explain the fees gap between funding types in the English care homes market. Okay, this is a job I'm doing myself in Doolan and Forder, and it is work that is part of ESHCRU, which is a Department of Health funded project, which is a collaboration between University of Kent, LSE, and the University of York, and I'll put up a nice disclaimer at the end just to confirm that. Okay, to provide a little bit of context. So, like many social care markets, the English care homes market is predominantly formed of private payers, what I'm going to refer to as self-funders throughout this presentation, and those who are publicly funded, so that's there are a small minority of residents in English care homes that are fully funded by the NHS as well, which is something we can discuss in how that implicates the findings in this paper later on, if needed. Anecdotally, it is well known that the fees paid by local authorities to fund LA-funded residents are much lower than self-funder fees. And one of the usual arguments for that is that there is a cross-subsidy. So that's simply that care homes charge self-funders more to subsidise the low fees received by LA-funded residents. So, for example, the Office of Fair Trading in 2005 actually did a market study of the care homes market, and they found in their survey of care home owners that around 20% of care home owners said that they charge self-funders more than LA-funded residents for a similar conditions of care. But of course, there are other potential explanations, other potential economic explanations for why there might be a gap in the prices paid. So, quite simply, there might be price discrimination. So, care homes actually are able to use their market power anyway because they have a large market power through information asymmetries, which we'll get to in a little bit. So, irrespective of the low local authority funded fees that they receive, they may be able to charge self-funders more. And of course, the other major expectation is that there are going to be large quality differences. There are large variations of quality within the care homes market in England. And this is of nice interest right now because with the social care funding climates, there is year-on-year falls in social care funding spending by local authorities. So they're feeling the pinch and having to keep local authority fee rises to a minimum. And then also we've recently had a Care Act come into force, and so that's going to have major changes and implications on care home prices, and it's something I'll get to later on in the discussion if I have time. But despite all that, the major issue is that we don't know a lot about self-funded fees in England. We know some anecdotal evidence. We can go to single care homes and get some idea of what prices are. But overall, we don't have a large lot of information. And so we don't have a lot of information on the fees gap. So the fees gap in itself is a kind of black box. We know it probably exists, but we don't know why, and we don't know to the extent of what that is. So for that reason, we try to assess the reasons for the fees gap at the local authority level. And we're looking at the local authority level because of data issues. We can't really go to the care home level, which again is something that we'll come to later. So do local authorities play a role in creating the fees gap? Does care home market power, or does quality play a part, or are there other factors? And in doing so, we estimate the fees gap, but as I said, we've got limited information on self-funder fees, so as a result, we actually also estimate average self-funder price for each local authority, which I'll try and explain it briefly, but that in itself could be a very long explanation of how we've done that. Okay, just to give you some kind of outline of some previous work in the areas that we're looking at. So there's some work on self-funders in the UK and the US. There's plenty for the US in terms of the extent of self-funders and the difference between self-funder prices and Medicaid prices in the US. In the UK as well, there is some work on the extent of total value, so the number and the total value of self-funders in the care homes market. In terms of market power, there's analysis at the UK and in particular again for the US showing that care homes do have market power, the extent to which they do have. So in the UK, like I offered the Dugan report out, showed that it's rather more modest, the markup rates in the UK compared to the US. And then in our recent piece of work we've done, we showed that there probably might be some, there is an argument to show that there could be some LA purchasing power, because we showed that competition decreases quality, but that competition, negative effect of competition on quality is felt through price. So competition forces down the price, and the price is then, the low price forces care homes' hands into lowering the quality. In terms of a cross-subsidisation issue, again, William Lane provided some useful evidence for the UK, who basically estimated reasonable costs for care homes and came to the conclusion that LA funding fees on average were £55 or £73 per week lower than the fair rate to cover what is considered reasonable costs. And then Troy for the US showed that there was a cross-subsidisation issue in Florida nursing homes. So, as I mentioned at the start, what are the potential reasons for the fees gap? Well, there are a few potential reasons. So, first is that local authorities use their purchasing power to push the price down. But we'd be very interested to know how far down. Are they pushing it so far down that care homes cannot cover their marginal costs, in which case care homes are then forced to use their market power to charge self-funders more to be able to survive? Or is it that they are just pushing it down to a competitive level which enables the market to be fairer? Second potential explanation is that care homes use their market power to price discriminate. So, as I said, there are large market asymmetries in information. And the type of purchase that is made, we're talking about a one-time purchase, and it is usually from an emergency condition, and so the decision has to be made very quickly, oftentimes. Third potential is quality differentiation. So vertical differentiation in the market exists. There are homes that cater majoritively for the local authority funded residents that will have low minimum levels of quality and more focused on delivering at a low cost, whereas there will also be very high level quality niche care homes which are aimed at very expensive self-funders that can afford very expensive fees. And then the fourth potential explanation is bulk buying of places. So it makes sense for care homes to sell their places to local authorities because they want to minimise their costs in terms of economies of scale, or because they want to remove any demand uncertainty. But all of those are probably quite closely linked, so it might be difficult to separate those out to some extent. So, as I said, if condition one was LAs do have purchasing power and are pushing it right down below marginal costs, then that necessarily indicates that option two would have to exist for the market to be sustainable. And also, with option four, it may be that care homes want to be able to give local authorities a discount, but it could also be the reverse, that local authorities are asking for the discount because they know that it's useful to care homes. So it may be difficult to separate those out. Okay, but we come up with these kind of four hypotheses. The two main ones are the first two, that the local authorities' purchasing power will increase the fees gap. So it'll increase the difference between the local authority funded fee and self-funders fees. The second one is that care homes market power will increase the fees gap. We believe that the effect of quality is ambiguous given the endogenous relationship between quality and price decisions and competition in the market. And then we believe also that economies of scale and demand uncertainty will increase the fees gap. Okay, the data. I'll just try and take you through this in a simplified way. So we're looking at the local authority level. So we look at 150 local authorities in 2008 and 2010. So we exclude the City of London, which I don't believe has any care homes, or if it does, it has one, and we exclude that. And we combine the Isles of Scilly with Cornwall. To get the information we need, the first thing we're missing is self-funded price. So what we do have is we have a panel of all the care homes in existence that were registered with the CQC in England for 2008 and 2010, and we have matched in price data from Lang and Buisson into that care homes panel. Lang and Buisson are the leading market analysts of the English care homes market. And so we have information at the LA level of the average price of a care home in each LA. From unit cost reports, council level unit cost reports, we have the price that local authorities pay on average to support an LA funded resident in the independent sector. And using data from those same council level unit cost reports, we can estimate the proportion in there, the proportion of residents that are LA funded in each local authority. Okay, making a couple of assumptions on the level of occupancy in the market based on the total number of care home places in each local authority, which we can get from our care home panel. So given that, we can assume that the average price is some function of, a simplified function of the local authority price and the self-funded price. So it's the proportion of local authority residents multiplied by the local authority price plus the proportion of self-funded residents times by the self-funded price. And so we're going to assume there at that stage that there are no NHS-funded residents in the market. The implications of that are not too major, we don't think, because we do a couple of robustness checks which we believe solve that issue in terms of the numbers, but maybe not the price issue. If we rearrange using from equation one, we actually have all that information except for the self-funded price. So therefore, rearranging that, we could then estimate the average self-funded price at each local authority using the information we have. And so we do that for all the local authorities where we believe there is a self-funded market that exists. So for a small number of local authorities, there are very few or no self-funded residents at all, according to what our figures. And so we don't actually estimate a self-funded price for those local authorities. Given we've got a denominator that can go very low, and we've also got a numerator that can get very low as well, given the local authority price could be an outlier and very high, we do get a number of outliers in the self-funded price. So in that case, we try to correct for that by a couple of ways. And then we estimate the fees gap, which is simply equal to the difference between the average self-funded price in each local authority minus the average local authority funded resident price in each local authority. Because of the issues we've had in estimating self-funded price, and also that we believe there may be one or two issues with some of the local authority prices obtained, we believe we have quite a few inaccurate fees gaps. So for that reason, we use multiple imputation to solve that and find fees gaps for those local authorities where the fees gap would in effect be missing. And so these are our estimated fees gaps for the 290 LA observations across the 2 years. So basically, we've got a basic fees gap, which is our basic one before we control for the outliers, and then we have the adjusted fees gap, which is our preferred measure, where we adjust for some of the outliers. And so you can see there's huge variation in the fees gap, and we have negative fees gaps, so suggesting that local authority funded fees are actually higher than self-funded fees on average in the local authority for the non-imputed data. So when we impute the data using multiple imputation, the huge variation is removed, and we remove, and we have no negative fees gaps. So on average, the fees gaps are around £160 per week. So that's reflecting, that's not saying that local self-funded residents pay £160 more per week on average. That's saying we're looking at the local authority, and so we've got large differences in not just, well, they're not paying the same for the same quality of care differences, so there'll be large differences in the care home they're at compared to local authority funded residents. And then the other three fees gaps are some of our robustness checks, okay, and I'll refer to those in a moment. Okay, in terms of our independent variables, the key ones we look at care home market power. So for that, we use the average level of competition for each local authority, and that's estimated using the distance weighted Herfindahl Hirschman index for each care home. So it's a distance weighted, and how competitive the market is around each care home in a 10 kilometre radius. And so with a scale of 0 for perfect competition to 1 for monopoly. Measuring LA local authority purchasing power, that is quite complicated. We have no distinct measure of local authority purchasing power. So what we do is we try to get a measure of local authority purchasing power using principal components analysis, which is a statistical technique to reduce the dimensions of a set of related variables. So we use three proxies for LA purchasing power. On the supply side, we use the total number of care homes in the local authority and the proportion of care homes that are not part of a major care home group. So that's where a major care home group is where there's three or more care homes in that that are owned by the same company. And we assume that those, as those increase, so LA purchasing power will increase. And then on the demand side, we use the proportion of older people that claim pension credits. Again, as that increases, that's a measure of income deprivation, a proxy for income deprivation. As that increases, so LA purchasing power should increase. And so we use the first principal component from that principal component analysis, which has an eigenvalue of 1.82, and it explains 60% of the variation in the data. And we use that to create a local authority purchasing power index, which goes from 1 to 3, 1 for low power, 3 for high power. In terms of quality, we use a proportion of homes that were rated as excellent in the star rating scheme, the old star rating scheme in England, which was rated from 0 stars to 3 stars. And then in terms of the economies of scale, again, it's difficult to actually get a measure of the bulk buying idea, the economies of scale idea. So we use the average care home size in each local authority to see if that will capture anything. So there's our descriptive statistics. In terms of control factors, we use older population percentage as a proxy for demand. Attendance allowance as a measure of needs. So that's you can claim that for if you have high levels of needs. And then from our care home panel, we have some data on whether the primary client for the care home was an older person with dementia or not. A percentage of care homes that were nursing homes in the local authority, and a percentage that were in the voluntary sector as opposed to the private sector. And then we have a dummy variable for whether the local authority is a London borough, and for the wave as well. So to estimate the effects of those variables on the fees gap, we estimate the following model. So we have the fees gap for local authority J in wave W, and it's a function of market power, LA purchasing power, quality, economies of scale, and the vector of market-related characteristics that I just described in the previous slide. We estimate that model using both OLS, allowing for clustering within the LAs, and also using random effects GLS. And we estimate using both the imputed and the non-imputed data, so using to compare. And in terms of our robustness checks, we allow the occupancy rate to vary. So we assume the 90% occupancy rates when estimating the self-funder price and the fees gap. And by allowing this to vary, in effect, we're allowing for NHS-funded places to take effect. So if we have an 85% occupancy rate, we'll have a greater number of LA-funded residents. We test for random effects and the validity of using random effects over fixed effects on the non-imputed data. And these are results for the non-imputed data. And so on the left-hand side, we just have the basic cross-section orderly squares. This is on the adjusted fees gap. And on the right-hand side, we've got the random effects GLS, again on the adjusted fees gap, just present the adjusted today. There's not a lot of difference between the basic, the adjusted and the robustness checks with the 85% and 95% occupancy rates. Market power has a significant positive effect on the fees gap, as we expected, and the same for high-powered local authorities in terms of their purchasing power compared to medium-powered local authorities. They increase the fees gap. But with the non-imputed data, the main issue is we're only looking at 136 local authority observations across the two waves from 99 local authorities, because so many of the local authority fees gaps that we estimated were probably completely wrong. So, using the imputed data, the results are just as significant, but the magnitude of the effects kind of reduce a little bit. So, concentrating on these, so this is for the random effects GLS. Market power, a 1% increase in the average market power in the local authority will increase the fees gap by £37 per week. And for local authority purchasing power, a local authority with high purchasing power will have a £40 per week higher fees gap than a local authority with a medium level of purchasing power. And we find a significant effect of quality, although fairly small. So we're not sure if we're capturing quality completely at the local authority level. It's quite difficult to probably capture quality at that level. So we find that a 1 percentage point increase in the percentage of homes rated as excellent would increase the fees gap by about £2 a week. And we find no effects of bulk buying. We do find some positive effects, some interesting ones. We've got these last three. Nursing homes tend to be larger, so it could be that the positive effect of nursing homes we're finding here on the fees gap could be in effect a bulk buying effect that we're finding. And also the voluntary sector tends to have higher prices and higher quality, so that's in itself the positive effect on the fees gap could also be another quality impact we're finding there. And then finally this year effect, so in 2010 the fees gaps were on average £36 higher than in 2008. There are a number of alternative explanations for that. One of those is that star ratings only came into existence only became publicly available in 2008. And so by 2010 they could have been well established, and so that could be a quality effect. Alternatively, it could be an effect of the global recession and the pinching on local authority fees and on maybe on self-funded, on care homes, extracting as much rent as possible from self-funders. Okay, so I've gone over most of that. But at the bottom there, what another extension we do that I won't show the results of, but I'll just point out here, is that we interact care home market power and LA purchasing power, and we find that the effect on the fees gap of high local authority purchasing power increases as care home market power decreases. So local authority purchasing power is affected by care home market power. And indeed, for the highest levels of average care home market power, so I think it's about the 75th percentile and above, then LA purchasing power has no impact on the fees gap. So they're playing each other off in terms of the level of power, market power in the care homes market. What does that all mean? We're finding that local authority purchasing power significantly increases the fees gap. Thank you. So that's what we expected. We found that care homes use market power to extract higher fees from self-funders. We also expected that. The local authority purchasing power was around £40 per week. The fee, average fees gap that we found was about £160 in the descriptive statistics. So about 25% or so of the fees gap can be explained by local authority purchasing power. What we can't tell is that really a cross-subsidisation issue? We expect it probably is, but we can't tell that they are actually forcing the care homes to use their market power to raise the price. And even if there is a cross-subsidisation issue, is it bad? There could be positive welfare implications of allowing that to occur. And then there are a couple of issues to think about. What the effect of the Care Act in 2014 on the care homes market. We think, in other work we're doing, we think that there is the potential for self-funded prices to fall with the effects of the effects of the Care Act. And so we think there might be the potential for the fees gap to be eroded, and so it'd be useful for us to analyse that in future work. And then, obviously, there are the limitations. So our estimation of self-funded fees has a number of assumptions in it. One of those, as I said, is the NHS funding placements, but as I say, I didn't think that would be such an issue, but that might have an impact on the results. We've then got the endogeneity issue that we haven't really addressed and probably need to in the future. And then we're examining the issue at the LA level. At the local authority level, we can't really tell what's going on. Ideally, we'd love to be able to use care home level data to look at individual prices within each care home, but that doesn't really exist. Okay, thank you very much for listening. And there's the display.